Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast today, brought to you by Your Network of Praise. Now, let's join the conversation.
You're listening to Your Network of Praise. This is Marcy, and I am so excited. So Dave has tasked me with getting to know our artists, the people we play on our station all the time. We would like to get to know them a little better. And thankfully, I was able to track down Austin French. Thank you so much for sitting down with us.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk with you. I'm here for all the questions.
Good, because I have a few rapid-fire ones, Austin, so there's going to be a few fun ones that hopefully will help us get to know you a little better. Now, there's an issue that comes up at the station quite often between Dave and I. That is, are you Cam Coffee or tea?
Oh, I'm coffee all the way. Okay. Like a kind of too much of coffee. Like a lot of cups of coffee, yeah.
Good news, we can hang.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, we're fine. That's going to be good. We are a morning show, you know, so people are getting ready right now. We would just love to know, everybody at home's making breakfast. What is your go-to breakfast at your house?
Well, if I'm cooking, it's cereal. So, no, I try to make, I make pancakes. We have three kiddos, real small kiddos. They love pancakes. And then they like eggs. But they like eggs and syrup.
Ooh.
All right, so if you haven't tried that, don't knock it till you try it. It's amazing.
So you actually, my husband eats eggs with syrup, and I thought he was weird, but my kids love it too. It's, yeah. I don't know what it is. Okay, so also, I was just talking to my son. He just bought a VW something or other that I've never seen before. It's a pretty interesting, like, stock car-looking thing. Anyway, it made me curious. What was your first car?
It was a blue, bright blue Ford Focus. And I grew up in South Georgia where you drive a truck. That's just everyone drives a truck. So I'm the kid pulling into the school parking lot, parking between two F-150s. And I'm over here with my sparkly blue Ford Focus that was like $2,000 on Facebook Market that we've scrounged up enough money as a family to get. So, yeah.
Love it. I love that. I was also wondering, we were asking our artists, so we're listening to Austin French. We love your music. We just started playing Jesus Can, and I love that song. I told you, my daughter, huge fan of Good Feeling. We got a lot of great music on our station from you. So what is Austin French listening to? Who are you listening to right now?
It's crazy. I listen to this guy named Austin French. He's awesome. Like, Jesus Can is just so good. No, I'm kidding. You know, I go through seasons where I actually like don't listen to anything, and for me that's mainly just like a palate cleanser. I'm in the process of writing music right now, so I like to try to not listen. And if I do listen, I listen to things that aren't at all like what I do. So actually, one of the bands that I'm listening to right now is a band that I've loved since I was in like eighth grade, and they just released a new record. It's a band called Nickel Creek. It's like a bluegrass band, and I love it. I love it so much. But and then in our genre, oh my goodness, really anything Cody Carnes is putting out, I just love it. It takes me straight to the feet of Jesus. And right now, Firm Foundation is like that song. I just keep playing over and over in my house, and as I'm cooking, you know, eggs with syrup in the morning. That's what we're listening to.
Awesome. I love bluegrass too, so I can you had me at bluegrass.
There we go.
Okay, so I would love to hear a little bit about your story, because I really think it would resonate with our listeners as far as church hurts go. I've been sharing with them, like, Matt Hammett just released a church hurts song and a devotional about all of that, and I know it's just you're not alone in that. Would you mind sharing a little bit about your story with that?
Absolutely. I was a pastor's kid in South Georgia, and I was taught to perform. I was taught to kind of wear a smile, wear my best, and hide the mess that was going on at home. I hated Christians. I didn't want to be one. My dad was really abusive. And so I was taught at church that my dad was the godliest man in the world. But at home, I was terrified. And so I couldn't understand how the godliest man in the world could treat his family that way and still be the godliest man in the world. And so that told me that that's what being a Christian was as an eight-year-old kid. I'm like, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to be a godly man. My parents split up. The pastor of the church that we were going to actually asked us to never come back again. And so I felt like I was rejected by my community. And then I just had so much hatred towards the godliest man in my life. And so why would I want to be a Christian? That was where I lived for a couple years. And then when I was 13, I went to a music camp to learn how to play the guitar, and really it was just so I could get a girlfriend. I thought that's how it would work. Didn't work like that for me, but it was at that camp I got on a stage, and he said, don't judge Jesus on the broken people he came to save, because broken people hurt broken people, but Jesus wants broken people. I realized that everyone around me was just as broken as me, and I've been hurt by broken people. But I had never been broken by Jesus. I judged Jesus on all those people, on my dad, on a pastor, on rumors about my family around town. Like, I was so angry, but I was angry at people, but I blamed God. And then I found out that once you meet Jesus, he's really good at doing everything he says he can do, and he's really good at doing everything he promises he will. He doesn't ever fail on a promise. And so I found out, it's like, if you give your life to Jesus, if you open your life up to that, the things that you think are unmovable, undoable, and unforgivable, God will use and turn it on its head. Yeah, that's what he does. He does impossible things, and that's just who he is. Thank God that he doesn't change.
Amen. I love that, and I know that resonates with a lot of the people that listen here on our station. And I was just wondering, like, encouragement-wise, can you think from that perspective? I think of the people working in ministry right now. I do outreach with teens, and I'd go and talk to teens who don't go to church, yeah. You know, who don't have a relationship with a church. What do you think is the best way to speak into the lives of those who have had that church hurt and are now, like, turning their faces away from Christians?
Absolutely. If you are a church leader, I recommend, and this is just something that a pastor told me once at a church that really affected me, is to fail forward. Don't hide your failures. Talk about them, because people need real people. They don't need unattainable perfection, because none of us are going to be perfect on this side of heaven, but we can run after the perfect one. And there's going to be some stumbles along the way. There's going to be some hurt along the way. And that just makes us real. And so when you realize that Jesus came and lived around, I mean, look at the disciples. They hung out with him for 3 years, like nonstop. And yet still Peter denied him 3 times, you know, on when he needed him the most. So none of us are free from imperfection, like, on this side of heaven. But we have the ability to be free from sin. And so run the race of with perseverance, but encourage people that sometimes you stub your toe on the race, and to be honest about those things, because that invites people. It doesn't isolate them thinking they can never attain it. And so for me in that season, I had a pastor. I had all that anger in my heart, and a youth pastor who, one, I gave my life to Jesus, but still it wasn't like hey, here's a Band-Aid that fixes everything. It was a process. And I had a pastor who challenged me, not with entertainment, right? Not with fancy lights and the smoke on stages and whatever. Like, what he did was like, hey, here's the Word of God. Let's read it together and let it transform you. So you don't have to put a sermon series together to reach someone far from God. You just need the gospel. You need the Word of God. And so that I would just encourage people to meet people where they're at with the gospel and take them to the source of hope. Not your opinion of the source of hope, the real source of hope.
That's so good. Amen. Love that. You have an adoption story in your family. I just would love to hear a little bit about that, because that's so sweet.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. So the foster system is really close to our heart. It wasn't on our radar at all, really. And kind of the way it came about was my wife and I had a U-Haul pack. We were moving to South Florida the next day. It was actually New Year's Eve. I was sitting at my mom's house. U-Haul is in my mom's driveway. And my mother-in-law and my father-in-law were coming to the house to tell me and my wife goodbye, basically. As we were moving, like, 8 hours away the next day. The knock comes to the front door, and I open it. My mother and father-in-law are standing there, and my mother-in-law's holding just a bundle of a baby in her arms. And this little boy, he had just been rescued out of living in a pretty dangerous living situation. And the moment I saw him, it was actually really one of the only times I've ever heard the Lord speak audibly to me. And the Lord just said, "You're his daddy." And I was like, "What?" Me and my wife had a 5-year plan to start having kids. We've been married a year. I was like, "God, this is not my plan. What are you doing?" And I was just so, honestly, I was like terrified of what I just heard. But I've instantly felt for this little boy like I would die for him. Like this love that I could not explain. I'd never met him before. And so in that moment, like, I kind of just buried it in my heart, and the next day I called my wife as I'm driving the U-Haul, and she's driving our car behind the U-Haul, and I'm like, "Hey, this is going to sound crazy, but I heard the Lord speak to me last night, and that's our little boy." And she said, "This is going to sound even crazier. He did the same thing to me." And so, yeah, that started this process for us. Our eyes were open to the foster system through adoption, and man, it was a wild journey, but my little guy turns 8 in July this year, and we adopted him when he was 2, and God has just done miracle after miracle in his life and in our life because we just said yes to the scary. So I would encourage anybody that is looking to serve in their community. There's so many kiddos in our backyard that need a home, and if you would open up your home, open up your heart, even serving foster families. It's just needed, and they feel isolated, and it's hard, but it's so needed. So, you know, I would just encourage you to say yes to Jesus and whatever comes with that. For us, that was adoption, and man, it definitely wasn't easy, but I would not change a single thing about it.
That's awesome and a great encouragement. I totally agree. Okay, Austin, it's so good to get to know you a little bit better.
Oh, it's so great to know you, and it blows my mind that people are listening in Montana to my music, so I'm so grateful.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast by Your Network of Praise. We enjoy bringing a variety of conversations your way about important topics or events. We hope you'll share these with your friends and family, and be sure to subscribe to our podcast by linking to our page at ynop.org, so you'll always be informed when there are new conversations ready for your enjoyment. To find out more about Your Network of Praise, go to ynop.org or visit us on Facebook.